What's up, guys? Good to see everybody. We just got back from a couple days at the Senior Bowl, and it's only one of the times in the weeks that I love. You absolutely see players who are 100% going for it, looking to prove it. And when you're down the field, you want to see who's up first in the drill. You want to see who goes to the one-on-one first. And it's those processes that you like about the Senior Bowl. It also begins for us as the coaching staff, a start again process. And prove it again, go for it again. And everything from the environment we create, the strategy, the culture, everything. So much so that I had with the staff, you know, here's what's up over the next 100 days. By the way, that includes the draft, you know, the players reporting, free agency, the combine. So a lot to get done. And so we restarted it in that way. As it goes through this year, I learned a ton of lessons. Winning streaks, unfortunately losing streaks, and it kind of came all the way back to the power of the team. And it was, you know, my belief in them and their belief in each other. And I watched that evolve in both the good and the bad. We were looking for guys who were physically wanting to give it up, the fast and physical style, but also learned the importance of having, like, the mental toughness that goes with that. And fortunate for us, we have a bunch of those guys. And those select ones, the leaders for us, they didn't back off. And some of those guys are the truest of competitors. And so Thomas and I, we have a really clear vision of how we're building this team together. And so a lot to learn, and we're absolutely jacked to get rolling on this start of the offseason, starting 2016. So with that, I'll kick it over to him, and then we'll follow it up with some questions.
You know, second year working with Dan going into this offseason, as Dan just mentioned, the vision is very, very, very clear with Dan and his coaching staff as well as our scouting staff. So the opportunity to work together and clearly communicate what we're looking for is going to be huge for us. I thought it paid, you know, massive dividends in my mind, I mean, with how we were communicating last year, and I think it'll continue to get, you know, more and more, it will gain more and more strength as we move on. So really excited about that. As Dan knows, our scouting staff, we've added to our scouting staff. This is the beginning of our moves. As you all know, we named Phil Emery and we named Rustin Webster onto our staff as national scouts. There's a lot there. They have a lot of experience, very adept evaluators in this league for many years. So to have them join as well, we'll continue to make a number of other moves going forward to continue to revamp and redirect our scouting staff. We've also mentioned about a complete revamp of the pro personnel department. We're in the process right now of really honing in on that. A lot of interviews are going on right now. It's very important for us right now to make sure that that department is operating full force. As we know, we have five picks this year, so it's going to be important that we're really dialed in on the pro side as well. So I'll open that up to questions.
Thomas, this is the first media access to you since the announcement that you were going to be kept. Was there any point from late in the season until now or until the announcement was made that you wondered whether you'd be back or not?
Well, I think, you know, anytime you have a season and seasons where there's a lot of focus on winning, which we know that. I know as a general manager in this league, every year you're up for scrutiny and up for decisions to be made. So my focus was on working hard with Dan on everything, focusing on trying to make this team as, you know, the best we could as we were moving through the season. And towards the end of the season, my focus was on that. As far as thinking about whether I was going to, you know, have my job or not, I think, again, my focus was on continuing to build this football team. And, you know, ultimately it was Mr. Blank's decision. And he made a statement that was very clear, I thought, that it took care of any of the ideas that I wasn't going to be around.
But you're human. I mean, there's got to be a point.
Sure.
Any day or multiple days where do I have a job?
I'm human and I'm competitive. So, of course, we're always thinking about that. We're always thinking about how we can, you know, do the right things. And like anything, I mean, this business is the way it is. You're going to have some hits, and you're going to have misses. And I understand that. The fan base deserves a very good product here. The media is going to report on it. I feel very strongly about that. I understand what my responsibilities are, and I take full responsibility for where this organization is right now as far as the acquisition process. That is ultimately my duty, and, you know, that's where my focus is. I think there are times when, of course, it has been warranted. Anytime you make mistakes, because there are such high expectations in the National Football League, I mean, we continue to go on and on about the not for long. I understand that. This is 8 years in this position, and I feel like we've done some really good things over the years, and I feel as well that we've made some mistakes, and I've made mistakes here that I have to be accountable for. So, of course, the criticism is warranted.
In this reorg, where does the college scout fall under, and how can the new national scouts help you all in the college scouting and drafting?
So the way that it works here is we're very org chart related in our scouting department. We have definitely a very traditional scouting setup where you have the directors on top. Ultimately, you have myself and then Scott Pioli and then the director, the college director. Then you have the two national scouts, you have regional scouts, and you have an area group. So the national scouts are going to be very, very, very involved, of course, going across the country. And that's very important for us to have the most, again, ostensibly the most adept and the most experienced scouts on our staff that will have a pool of players to compare to. They have many, many years. I don't know the exact number together, but they've combined for many years in this league, not only as directors but as area scouts and then as general managers. And there's going to be a really interesting meeting set up where we're able to talk about players and add insight to Dan and his staff when we're all in there together. As well as for our scouting staff to continue to learn through this group. Again, I can't tell you how encouraged I am about having the opportunity to bring these two guys onto our staff. You know, we have a lot of experience here that we can continue to tap into.
So I know you talk about collaboration, the collaborative effort by everybody. When push comes to shove, though, who has the ultimate decision? Free agency, the draft, who has the final say?
Are you talking about in our personnel department?
Yeah.
Yes, ultimately I do. Yes. And we, you know, again, we are collaborative, and I do pride myself on that, and Dan prides himself on that from the coaching standpoint. We spent a lot of time doing that, and it's very important in this league. And I think that should be very clear to most people. It's not one person hammering their hand on the or their fist on the table. It's truly about talking to the coaching staff about it, talking to the scouts about it, the area scouts, the regional scouts, now the national scouts, and discussing it. And I think ultimately someone has to pull the tag off the board. And, you know, those are my responsibilities, and that comes back to, you know, ultimately, you know, my responsibility to make sure that we're picking the right people and, you know, our acquisitions are right.
Everybody knows everybody that's gathered here at one time or another, but six GMs now, or at least at one time they were GMs in the building. Do you worry about there being too many proverbial cooks in the kitchen?
No, you know, that's a great question, I'm sure. Not one bit. Not one bit. Interestingly enough, I've had this discussion with Dan about it. I've talked to Mr. Blank about it. All of these guys that are in our building, we're all contemporaries. We've all scouted together for many, many years, shoulder to shoulder, way before we even thought we'd have a sniff at a general manager job. So we all know each other. We've all been around each other. We all know our scouting approaches, and I think that's going to be very beneficial. You know, the two national guys, just to that point, they won't be in the building here day in and day out as scouts. They're out on the road all the time. It's not like we have, you know, five desks lined up with, you know, me right in the middle and I'm turning to left or right to look for answers. Of course, we're going to have some awesome discussions and dialogue about, you know, our organization as well as the league organization, as well as being able to sit down with Q and talk about all the things that we've all done well and all the things that we've, you know, we've had our challenges with.
I think it's really cool from my end looking at it to know that, like, you're, you know, like, finding ways to improve and get better, yeah, which is one of the core things that we talk about all the time. Does it take some humility from, you know, to say, how can we do it the very best we can? Of course it does. But at the same time, like, I think it says a lot about, like, how bad we want to improve to get better and finding ways to get better all the time in every way. So I think it's one of the coolest parts of the off season. There's some really, like, anytime you add guys to your organization that have lots of value, I think it's awesome. And these are, like, two high-quality guys, too.
And how do you fit into the personnel part of it? What's your voice in the room when everybody makes their case for this guy fits our needs and makes us better?
Honestly, the best way I can do it is when I look at the players and I try to say, how can this player fit on our team the best? And so I try to look at the guys, I say, whether it's an, you know, offensive player or a defensive player, this is how he would fit on our team right now. And this is how we try to use them, whether it's a free agent or a draft pick or an undrafted free agent. So that's kind of the best part for me is how would he fit on our team currently? I now have the luxury after a whole year of knowing exactly where we stand on our team where, you can imagine last year going in, you have a sense of what you think might be. And then now after going through it, man, I can't wait to get rolling because I have such a clear vision to help Thomas. That's always like been our support together where he knows where, how, and I can tell him on our team, this is how he's going to play, and this is how we'll feature him, this is how we'll use him. So it's a partnership that works out great for us, knowing how he would play on the team based in the scheme.
Fast forward to the draft room itself, most of the conversation between you two, I'm assuming that night as guys come off and stay on the board, is that what happens in that room as far as you know?
Yes, in terms of our communication together, yeah.
No question about it. We have some great conversations at, at the front table. And we discuss it as it's going, and that's whether it's trade-related, whether it's about projecting a guy who might fit or might not fit. And it's amazing how fluid that is, Chris. I mean, it changes all the time. Even during – we may go in thinking we have a certain focus on a certain player, and a running back may come up that we think is going to be very beneficial to us, like might have happened last year with Tevin Coleman. We had some great discussion about it on the fly.
Could you foresee a scenario where it gets to your pick and – you guys are on opposite sides looking to pull off the board?
No, I don't believe so. I think normally when you go into a draft, you have a really strong opinion about where you are. I've always believed, and I think I've said this all 8 years I've been here. In the end, as a head coach and as a general manager, if at loggerheads on a player, truly at loggerheads on a player, and you can't come to an agreement, then you pass on that player. That's what I truly believe. And that's, I think because if you're trying to convince each other down the stretch and at the very end you can't convince each other that one way or the other that's the right choice for the organization, you're setting your organization up for failure.
And most times, Jeff, when we have like a player that we have disagreement on, we watch it again. And then, either when we leave there, we kind of share one or the other. So generally it's not like, well, this is all I see or this is all I see. All right, well, let's go put him back on again and watch him again together. So that wouldn't happen on the day of the draft, but that would happen a lot on just, okay, let's look at this linebacker, this safety, this corner again. You had him at this grade. I had him this. Let's watch him together again. So that probably takes place a lot,
So I understand this is a hypothetical, and you both hate hypotheticals. But hypothetically, you're both sold on a different player. Do you say, okay, we're going to back off both of them, or do you go to your owner to break the tie?
No,
or
go to Thomas.
The way I look at it again is we would have that discussion, and I've always believed this. It doesn't really matter in the end who has 53 or – in the end, it's about the two men who are ultimately making the decision on building the football team to discuss what's best for the team. And in the end, honestly, in the end, a head coach has to have – the say on what should go down because it's his scheme and he knows the type of linebacker he's looking for or the type of pass rusher or maybe the tight end for that scheme. I think that's very, very important to never lose sight of. And I strongly believe that.
He just said it's your decision.
I think what you're saying probably like, – I did say that, Jeff, but I'm saying I think it's more along the lines of different positions than unlikely at one. Does that make more sense to you? So oftentimes if we were disagreeing on one player, we probably wouldn't take him. if we felt that in disagreement about a player, then we're not seeing him in the same way. So those are the times to go back in and let's watch him again.
And every once in a while in a draft, as there might be a player that falls through the cracks and all of a sudden you're sitting there, your second pick, and he's available. That's where something could come up. But again, in the end, if a head coach is totally against a player, the success rate of that player, working out is obviously quite low in my mind.
A lot of people talk about the 2012 draft a lot. In fact, there's nobody left. As you look back on that draft, not to rehash old stuff, but just what are your thoughts on it? And then can you talk about personnel since then in terms of decisions that have been made? Do you think things have gotten better? Do you think things are – do you still have regrets about anything in the last 3 years since the 2012 draft? And not just the drafts, by the way, but free agents.
Right. The 2012 draft was highly disappointing. It was coming off of a big year where we made a very aggressive move for Julio Jones. We obviously didn't have a first-round pick. Our second-round pick was Peter Kahns. Unfortunately, not as a person, but as a draftable player, that ended up being a major blunder for us, and we realized that. And then, you know, again, 12 ended up being a very disappointing draft for us. I believe we regrouped 13, 14, and 15, and I believe that our personnel is continuing to show that we are heading in the right direction. And you said not just draft, but I think, you know, free agency moves. I think we've become more and more dialed in, especially with Dan, to know what type of players we're looking for our scheme. And it doesn't just mean you have to go after high-ticket free agents, that you can hit on some of the more mid-line money guys, and they're going to have a really important role on our football team, and we feel that we continue to do that. Are there mistakes? Of course there are. Will there continue to be? That's the nature of this business. It's not an exact science. I hope to do the best job I can to continue to earn back the trust of this, you know, this fan base that we know what we're doing as far as building a football team.
Can I go on Twitter?
Never. No, I've never been on Twitter in my life.
No, I'm sorry. Let me know when you tell him the truth.
No, I've never been on Twitter in my life. I was dissuaded from doing that.
Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, also along those lines, what going forward, what can you all do to make sure, or these changes, how do they affect the draft and assessment of offensive and defensive linemen? Because, when you look at that list, it's...
Are you talking about the additions?
Forward, yeah, how does this help the assessment of how you all going to look at and draft offensive and defensive linemen? The pass rush has been a problem. Line protection has been a problem. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think Q mentioned it earlier about the importance of the fronts. And I'm going to toss it over to Q on that in a minute. I will say, again, understanding the background, the experiences that these two men that we've just added, as well as our continued focus on the importance of the front, I think we are going to, you know, continue to cross all of our T's and dot our I's and understand that we're just going to continue to build, you know, our O-line to protect Matt and continue to represent this outside zone scheme that we're talking about. And then, you know, Dan's...
I think that's probably worth discussing, too, just for a moment, TD. Like, when there is some scheme changes, there are some personnel changes that go along with that.
Right.
And that was certainly the case with me of trying to be really clear and really upfront with Thomas about some of the... style of player and characteristics that we were looking for. So I think that goes without saying, anytime there's some scheme change, there's going to be some personnel changes as well. So I think we all expect that. We understand that. So I just want to be really clear on, you know, where we're both connected on exactly the style of guys we're looking for.
Dan, you had some time to reflect on the season, look at some tape. Why do you think Matt struggled like he did at times this year?
Well, I think when you look from just, you know, purely numbers, it was, you know, similar to some other years. Where the biggest difference was the turnovers, and where there's some uncharacteristic interceptions, whether it was in a two-minute situation or in the red zone, those are the ones that just jump out like, man, okay, that has to be avoided in our game. So we're going to work extremely hard at that part of his game. Is it all on him on some of those? No, that's certainly not the case. Was it protection? Was it the route not right? His, you know, usually it's a combination of all or some of those. So that's going to be a number one on the top of the list.
In your exit interview with him, did you discuss whether the offensive system and scheme actually fits what he does well?
Well, I totally did. I think every time, you know, you're going through, you want to make sure you're doing the exhaustive list, you know, and questions is everything you can. So, I asked that question directly, you know, about the same one, because I wanted him to make sure, like, I know he's comfortable in the system, but, you know, why did we have those turnovers that caused, you know, some of the negative situations to take place? So he absolutely agreed, you know, absolutely I can, you know, dominate and play in the role that we want here. So it was one of the very first questions, not the very first, but one of the ones I asked.
Dan, do you feel like that without Dan being here this year, that you wouldn't be, like, your working relationship with him plus the improvements that you've had are the reason why you were retained?
Because of my relationship with Dan?
Yeah.
I think my relationship with Dan is it's one that I'm really proud of. I take pride in making sure that I communicate and work with a head coach very closely. It's what I believe is so important in this league. You can't be successful in this league without having a very close and communicative relationship with the head coach. I've been around that. My dad was a coach all my life. I believe it 100%. Fortunate to have that. So as far as being here or not, I don't look at it that way. It's important. If I didn't have that relationship with Dan or a head coach in general, I don't think I'd be around here, and I shouldn't be around here.
Dan, to follow up
on Mark's question there. Yep. I'm sure we can't know the intricacies and specifics, but did Mr. Blank come to you for your input on Thomas, and did you, you know, advocate, go to bat for him at all?
We absolutely went through every, you know, part of the organization. It was actually one part of the process that I really enjoyed, you know, visiting with Arthur regarding, you know, the process from coaching to scheme to – we went through the whole season from off-season draft, you know, off-season program, training camp, how we did everything. I did it with the coaches as well, and I also asked them to evaluate me, and I wanted to find ways that I could do things better. And not, you know, everybody's been part of, you know, the exact culture that I've, you know, trying to create. So what have you done at another place, Richard Smith, or what have you done at a different spot, Raheem? So I wanted all those guys to evaluate me as well. But, you know, the time that I spent with Arthur, I always gained insight from, like, a management perspective, whether it's the staff or the team that I gained from. So yeah, we spent a bunch of time together, you know, since the season has ended, and I always gain good stuff from that.
You mentioned that the vision going forward is very clear. What differences have you learned going into year two than what you had in year one?
For me, I guess probably you know, it's the power of the team. That was, you know, kind of one thing that I hit on, like how connected and tight these guys are, and knowing the style that we want to play is really clear. That's in. The players have a very clear understanding of what that's going to look like. The part we didn't get done from our philosophy standpoint was making it about the ball in terms of ball hawking it defensively, offensively. We've got a lot of talented players. The mindset and the attitude to work. Now it's time to recapture that work ethic and go for it in the biggest way. So I guess for me, the vision was like, can I – put it in a way, you know, to try and capture that culture with the whole team and the coaching staff. And now know that that can. Now it's time to take it, you know, through another ceiling to another spot. And that's what I'm so fired up to do.
Dan, are there metrics? We've read that Pete Carroll, there was a metric system, size and things that you guys have looked for in terms of some maybe tangible measurements. That's at least been a story that's been out there for years. He started it at USC. Is there such a thing? And did you bring that here? And how do you adhere to it or not?
There is, and we want to look in every single way to try and find an area to improve and to attack. And so a lot of part of the philosophy I gained from Pete, not everything, but a lot. He's been a terrific mentor, both he and John Schneider, to help me develop. And so a lot of the things that I did learn there, did some carry over here, yes. One of the things I also learned was, hey, you know, Q, make sure you lead in your own way. And I thought that was a really powerful statement that I'd always remember, too. So I tried to make sure when I was starting the program off, you know, here with this staff and with this team and with TD, that it was going to be, you know, really true to who I am as well.
Are there size, weight, speed, things that you guys check off? If not, then this guy doesn't fit?
We have some characteristics that, in a player that we do look for sure. And then is there some outliers from that? Yeah, there is. But we do try to stay, you know, pretty consistent in terms of some characteristics that we look for.
As Carolina set the standard for the division, winning it three times in a row, how big is the gap between you and them, and how do you close it?
I'll start it off first on that one, and then I'll kick it over to Thomas. I think, you know, we got to give them their props, you know, and their respect of, you know, winning the division three times, because one of the great things about winning the division, it ensures that you're going to start playing the playoffs at home, and that's a huge advantage. And as we know, that's the goal. So for us, in terms of, you know, going back for this division and being a real factor in that, that's going to be in the front of our thinking for sure. You know, we split games with them this year, lost there, won here. We're looking forward to that challenge, but they do get our respect, you know, as they've done it 3 years in a row. And I think the goal of that when you're, you know, playing well and you're winning your division, well, that ensures you're playing some playoff ball at your spot. And once you know that, then it kind of gets rolling from there. But it's an important part, and one that we do talk about a bunch, at least as a staff. Can our culture, can our strategy, can the way we're doing things top what they're doing in the three other clubs?
You know, my comments on that are, you know, success is contingent on continuity. We know that in this league over many, many years. Dave Gettleman's done a heck of a job there as a general manager, you know, along with Ron, building a football team. They've been very consistent with their approach. And it's something that we believe in here, and we're going to continue to be consistent. And that's where we think it can make a difference, where we're not being flippant about changing on the fly. We want to be very consistent, thoughtful, and mindful of being, you know, heading in the right direction and being, again, consistent and thoughtful about it.
Following that up, we all know it's kind of a tale of two seasons this year. Yes. Is there anything that you saw this year that tells you you could compete for a championship next year?
Yeah, number one, absolutely it does. And I think there were some scars, you know, that took place when you go through a losing streak like we did. But I also know there was some stuff that you gain by coming out of it as well. The mindset and the attitude of what we're looking for, we're looking for adding guys to that mix. But I absolutely feel that we can.
You know, I think Dan is a perfect example of a head coach who can deal with the adversity. And this team dealt with a lot during that streak. And I think it was amazing to watch this building and the players and the administration hang tough and deal with it. And I think it's only, as tough as it is to say, it's only going to benefit on the other side for this organization. And again, I think you know, Dan led the troops fantastic during that time, because it would have been an easy time for people to jump off.
There are physical misses and mental misses when you're talking about 22-year-olds.
Yep.
Are you looking forward to the second year of that, whether it's 15 minutes at the combine or when you go and fly a guy out or he flies in, and Thomas, you as well, the idea that you have to figure out this not coachable, not as coachable, doesn't want to play as much as somebody else?
Yeah, and that part, the character totally matters. And there's like so much that you're trying to find out in a short time. So the combine, to me, it's a window, but not the only one that we'll get with the guys. And all the research that goes into it, that's why, like, even, you know, observing and watching at the Senior Bowl was totally worthwhile to see the guys at those practices. So it's a huge part of it in terms of the mental makeup to say this guy has the mindset to go for it and not only play fast and physical, but have the mental toughness to want to, you know, whether I'm a leader, whether I'm, you know, going to be part of the team, but like we're looking for guys that won't back down from anything, from any challenge. And getting to know these guys is a really important part of it. And the guys who are coming up and coming out of college right now, you know, some of the millennials, it's a unique group of guys. And we'll dig in and find out as much as we can about them.
Have there been as many mental misses as maybe physical misses, Thomas?
I think there are going to be. That's a difficult place to be. You know, you sometimes believe someone has the heart you think they have, or the mental ability as far as the ability to pick up a system and be mentally acute football wise. It's not always that easy. One of the things that I've learned over the years, Chris, is that it's really important to know Q's personality, but not only Q's personality, his coordinator and his assistant coaches, to make sure that we understand the type of player that's going to fit into that room well. As what, you know, that's important for us. And I could talk ad nauseum about that, because it's something that I feel strongly about. Have to make sure that you're bringing in the right person mentally, characteristic-wise, that's going to fit in with our coaching style and our approach, our culture. Yeah. That's a big thing.
And that having that grit is, you know, like knowing you have the ability to get it done, to push through setbacks, to persevere, to have passion to go, like those are the characteristics you're looking to find. So it's hard to draw that out, but we have some ways that, whether how you're asking a question, what you have to overcome, that tells you a lot about a guy.
Thomas, you said you have the final say, as I guess it has always been. Is it fair to say Dan has more influence now than he did, say, coming into his rookie year as a coach?
Dan has a great deal of influence here, and you know, we've always said that. As we know, Dan has 53 in the end. His ability to decide what is on this roster in the very end, is that's on him. I mean, that's on us together, and we work together on everything. Yep. But his influence on this roster, along with his influence on me and our scouting department, how we're putting this team together is the way it should be in any NFL situation, in my mind. Should be collaborative, it should be strong, it should be aggressive, it should be confident, and that's what Dan embodies.
Thomas, Dan's had answered these questions for about 3 or 4 months now, so I'll ask you, what's Roddy White's future with this team?
You know, Roddy's still under contract here, and we're in the process of looking at, as you know, we've talked about the changes in the organization on the personnel side, and we're obviously very focused right now on what's going to happen with our personnel, and we're smack dab in the middle of that. We've made no final decisions on anyone at this point as far as moving on from people or redoing contracts right at this moment.
And your thought on the combine compared to film that you see on Saturday, level of competition, conference-wise, how much of that matters to you?
The level of competition for sure does, but at the combine, honestly, the most important part for me is that connection to start getting going with the guys, not necessarily just the on-field work, because it still comes back to the tape. Okay, what are the instincts? Can he tackle in space? You know, like we do a lot of the drill work out on the field, but at that point, it's not quite the same as the tape. So that's really what it comes down to. So as we're going through that process, it still comes down to the tape. But then getting there, I do like getting to meet the guys and getting to know them there and find out, you know, what makes them unique, what makes them special, what makes them tick. You know, why does this mean so much to you? And those are some of the things I try to pull out of them.
This affiliation in terms of the competition they go against, how much does that come into play for you?
It does for me quite a bit, especially sometimes if we know there's a certain player who may be in the draft and he may match up with another player. All right, let's put that ball game on as well. So sometimes you'll look at a player, and if you really want to know, okay, I'm really trying to find out as much, I'm going to look at 6-7 games, all right? And then, oh, by the way, this fellow over here was a really good running back. Let's put that game on as well. So I think you keep digging, you keep finding, and it's kind of like a game or two that you want to see a matchup. All right, now I found it.
Thomas, do you feel like your job is on the line this year?
People might have thought maybe going into this year that your job was on the line. I mean, do you feel like, I mean, what's, I mean, obviously, I did.
You sure did.
Obviously, what I mean, when the owner has to issue a statement in the season that you're coming back, I mean, does that, you feel like this is a make or break year for you?
I think, again, I've said this to you for years now. I believe every year is. That's what I believe. And do I believe this year? Like any year, I do, because it's about the success of this organization, and that's my responsibility. So there's no doubt in my mind that I look at it every year as I need to produce in order to keep my job. That's the way it is.
Yeah, Thomas, the Senior Bowl, you all have used that a lot over the last 8 years. And, you know, what has been the value of that, and what was your assessment of the players you saw down there over the last couple of days?
Senior Bowl, it's wildly important to us. It's the marquee all-star game out there where we get, you know, the best talent against the best talent, devoid of the underclassmen, obviously, who have aren't permitted to be there. Gives us an opportunity to walk the field. I mean, Dan and I spent a lot of time walking the field, as you saw, jumping up in beside, you know, all the different groups and watching the players. It gives us a chance to watch, again, the best players against the best players in a football setting, not necessarily in a combine setting. So it's very, really important for us. We have an opportunity to interview a lot of different players. Our scouting staff is really focused during that time. And, you know, we also have an opportunity to talk to, you know, some of our associates at, you know, at other teams who just so happens that Dave Caldwell and the Jaguars were in charge of another team there like they were the last 2 years. So you can get some inside information on how the players are acting, their characteristic, their approach to the game. Their passion for the game is something that we've talked about trying to measure, and it's never easy. So to us, the Senior Bowl is very valuable, even more so at times in certain ways than the Combine would be.
All right, thank you, guys.
Good to see you guys.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.